Chapter 11. How Pope Boniface advised the king's consort to use her best endeavors. The same pope also wrote to King Edwin's consort, Ethelberg, to this effect. The copy of the letter of the most blessed and apostolic Boniface, Pope of the city of Rome, to Ethelberg, King Edwin's queen. To the illustrious lady his daughter, Queen Ethelberg, Boniface, bishop, servant of the servants of God. The goodness of our Redeemer has in his abundant providence offered the means of salvation to the human race, which he rescued, by the shedding of his precious blood, from the bonds of captivity to the devil, to the end that, when he had made known his name in diverse ways to the nations, they might acknowledge their Creator by embracing the mystery of the Christian faith. And this the mystical purification of your regeneration plainly shows to have been bestowed upon the mind of your Highness by God's gift. Our heart, therefore, has greatly rejoiced in the benefit bestowed by the bounty of the Lord, for that he has vouchsafed, in your confession, to kindle a spark of the Orthodox religion, by which he might the more easily inflame with the love of himself the understanding, not only of your illustrious consort, but also of all the nation that is subject to you. For we have been informed by those who came to acquaint us with the laudable conversion of our illustrious son, King Eadbald, that your Highness, also, having received the wonderful mystery of the Christian faith, continually excels in the performance of works pious and acceptable to God, that you likewise carefully refrain from the worship of idols, and the deceits of temples and auguries, and with unimpaired devotion, give yourself so wholly to the love of your Redeemer, as never to cease from lending your aid in spreading the Christian faith. But when our fatherly love earnestly inquired concerning your illustrious consort, we were given to understand that he still served abominable idols, and delayed to yield obedience and giving ear to the voice of the preachers. This occasioned us no small grief, that he that is one flesh with you still remained a stranger to the knowledge of the supreme and undivided Trinity. Whereupon we, in our fatherly care, have not delayed to admonish and exhort your Christian Highness, to the end that, filled with the support of the divine inspiration, you should not defer to strive, both in season and out of season, that with the cooperating power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your husband also may be added to the number of Christians, that so you may uphold the rights of marriage and the bond of a holy and unblemished union. For it is written, "They twain shall be one flesh." How then can it be said that there is unity in the bond between you, if he continues a stranger to the brightness of your faith, separated from it by the darkness of detestable error? Wherefore, applying yourself continually to prayer, do not cease to beg of the long-suffering of the divine mercy the benefits of his illumination, to the end that those whom the union of carnal affection has manifestly made in a manner to be one body may, after this life, continue in perpetual fellowship by the unity of faith. Persist, therefore, illustrious daughter, and to the utmost of your power endeavor to soften the hardness of his heart by carefully making known to him the divine precepts, pouring into his mind a knowledge of the greatness of that mystery which you have received by faith, and of the marvelous reward which, by the new birth, you have been made worthy to obtain. Inflame the coldness of his heart by the message of the Holy Ghost, that he may put from him the deadness of an evil worship, and the warmth of the divine faith may kindle his understanding through your frequent exhortations. And so the testimony of Holy Scripture may shine forth clearly, fulfilled by you. The unbelieving husband shall be saved by the believing wife. For to this end you have obtained the mercy of the Lord's goodness, that you might restore with increase to your Redeemer the fruit of faith and of the benefits entrusted to your hands. That you may be able to fulfill this task, supported by the help of his loving kindness, we do not cease to implore with frequent prayers. Having premised thus much, in pursuance of the duty of our fatherly affection, we exhort you, that when the opportunity of a bearer shall offer, you will with all speed comfort us with the glad tidings of the wonderful work which the heavenly power shall vouchsafe to perform by your means in the conversion of your consort, and of the nation subject to you. To the end, that our solicitude, which earnestly awaits the fulfillment of its desire in the soul's salvation of you and yours, may, by hearing from you, be set at rest. And that we, discerning more fully the light of the divine propitiation shed abroad in you, may with a joyful confession abundantly return due thanks to God, the giver of all good things, and to the blessed Peter, the chief of the apostles. We have, moreover, sent you the blessing of your protector, the blessed Peter, the chief of the apostles, to wit, a silver looking glass, and a gilded ivory comb, which we pray your highness to accept with all the good will with which it is sent by us.